Blog Talk Radio.
And thank you for joining here on the Sports Talk with Trenton White and Trenton White Sports Radio Show, brought to you by TW Media and Scouting Services. Thank you all for joining. For all my fans outside of New York State, look, we had NFL postgame was canceled Sunday. G-Money was a little bit under the weather. We do apologize for that. Appreciate the emails we got on that. We're going to start locally. And if you can relate to this topic, call in. 646-915-9969. I will be taking some phone calls today. It's a pretty good show. It's a pretty good show because there's a lot of debate right now in high school football. And for years, if you guys have been listening to me, you know I've been talking about this for some time. We're going to talk about the rankings in Western New York and how they go about making these rankings and how they could have real rankings when coaches on the same teams whose teams are ranked can vote on it. Just little things like that. We're going to talk about the Catholic schools playing with the public schools. We're going to have a coach right now from Buffalo, New York, who actually took a team against a powerhouse, Canisius, and almost pulled it off if it weren't for a dramatic kick by a kicker, D1, going to Ohio State, 61 yards. We're going to have Coach Tim Delaney on tonight. Been talking to Coach for many years. A good coach. Brung up the program at South Park. South Park to me, and most of the polls had them as number two. You know, when I think of football, I had this warped sense of if a team going to beat you by a field goal, to me you really beat them. And I played football on two levels, and I kind of understand, no, you lost. But if it weren't for this kicker, Coach Tim Delaney pulls off the upset. And to me, I'm going to get in why is it really an upset. I don't think it would have been an upset when you break it down. Name recognition carries a lot, especially here in Western New York. Carries a lot. Name recognition is so much more than the play on the field, I feel. Name recognition, to me, carries way too much weight. I think if a team has a good program like Orchard Park, they're a good program. They're good last year. They're good the year before, but this year is different. You never know what's going to happen. So we're going to talk some high school football and get really deep down into it. If we have time, we're going to talk some Buffalo Bills. We're going to have some special guests on. Some former NBA players will be on the show this week. We can talk about that. Got a quick email on the response to my post earlier this morning about how I said the rankings were a joke in West New York. Now, I don't think I'm crazy for saying that. I think it's about time someone backs me beside myself. I can only do so much. I fought for the Buffalo kids as soon as they got in Section 6 because I knew there would be some unfairness that no one's going to admit to that would happen, and they kind of went through that. I'm very passionate about when you're trying to cheat kids. You don't get to like the coach. You don't get to like the team. But don't cheat the kids if they're busting their butt out there, risking injury. They worked hard all season. Football's a violent game. Risking injury to have some old guy who probably never played dictate this team's path to wherever it is, playoffs or whatever. I've been saying all along, refereeing in this area is awful. You have some good refs, you have some bad ones. And I don't accuse anyone of anything. But when you look at the rankings, and when I talk about Star Point, understand this. If you've been listening to me for all these years, for heaven's sakes, I scout and help kids get to school. I bring some of the top talent in the country on this show, locally and nationally. Mean this for the kids. But Star Point's having a great season. Star Point's 5-0. A very good season, and I'm happy for those kids. But when you watch football week to week, I tend to wonder if the guys who are doing the rankings even watch some of these teams. Star Point's 5-0. Totally get it. It's a good season. But just because you're undefeated doesn't mean you should be in the top 10. Who'd you beat? Well, if you go up against a double-A school who beat the same teams you did by a combined 61 points and you beat them by 10, you shouldn't be ranked ahead of them. Let's talk about Jamestown, defending state champions. And they still got a scary team. They're not what they were last year, but it's still a scary team. With two losses, it could have been three. Niagara Falls blew it. You somehow find a way to put Jamestown still in the top 10. And look, I love Coach Tom. I talk to him every chance I get when he comes into town. Good guy, good coach, very good program, well-deserving. But just because of what you did last year, two losses should not keep you in the top 10. And then considering they're ranked ahead of Kenmore West, who beat Niagara Falls by 22 points, and Jamestown beat them by 3. It doesn't make much sense to me, and I'm just amazed what Coach Tim Delaney has done for South Park, because he's been playing behind the eight ball ever since Buffalo. And that's, you know what, every coach has in Buffalo since Section 6 finally allowed the city schools to play the suburban schools, which, me not being from here, was completely ridiculous. It reminded me of segregation. I'm not old, but segregation, that's exactly what it seemed like. There's no other reason why the city schools should have been playing in their own league and not allowed to play for state championships. But someone finally got it right and made that decision. So we look at Coach Tim Delaney here. Coach took a team. First year was 3-6, 4-5, 4-5, 7-2. Had a good season last year. Now he's 4-1. Only lost to the powerhouse Canisius. And I'll say this again. Canisius won the game. But they won the game because of an outstanding kicker who kicked a 61-yarder. That rarely happens in high school football, but it did. He's a great kicker, and he deserves where he's going. Me personally, if I rank them, I think South Park's 2. They should be tied for 1, not Orchard Park. Orchard Park has been doing very well. So has Lancaster. But I'm looking at the quality opponents. Lancaster beat up on some bad teams, traveled outside the state, and got walloped by a very good team. And I'm not going to punish them for that. But I'll say this. I give South Park points just for putting Canisius on the schedule. Because a lot of teams do not put Canisius on the schedule. Coach Tim Delaney had confidence in his kids. And I feel when you don't put your team on the schedule to play Canisius, either it's all about you or you don't have confidence in your own kids. You're protecting your legacy. It's not protecting the program. If you want to build a program, you play teams like that who have national recognition. And Coach Tim Delaney did, and he almost pulled it off. As far as I'm concerned, he did pull it off if it weren't for the feet of this kicker. South Buffalo right now is the top school in Buffalo. They're the top school. They're one of the top schools in Western New York. They're only 2 behind Canisius. And if they played Orchard Park, I would love to see that game. I think they have the talent to do it. I would not question having South Park as 2, even if they were tied for 1st. I would not question Orchard Park. But I tell you right now, it doesn't fare well for any Section 6 team when it comes to the playoffs to go play those teams in Rochester, because Aquinas and Pittsburgh just did a number on our guys. So it looks like the power's in Rochester, except for, I feel, in A. I think South Park's going to run the table, maybe go to this state championship, and maybe win it. It's going to take a phenomenal team to do it. If that team stays healthy, I don't see them losing. But it's high school football. Anything can happen. But I'm just upset about the rankings. I'm going to get into that a little bit more after Coach Tim Delaney comes on, because the way I feel, Buffalo is a place where you almost concede to being cheated. See, I'm going to give you guys a dose of reality. Southern PA football is pretty much a business. And let's be honest, high school is a business. You don't want to admit it, but it is. It's not recreational time. It's not everyone gets a trophy. No, these are serious games. And it's serious games for this reason. When the scouts come to Western New York, they're coming to make their program richer, better, to get more recruits, to get their name up there, to win championships. That's why they come here. You're fooling yourself if you're a parent if you said your kid's out there playing for fun, because if he is, he's sitting on the bench, and that's the only option you had to say. If your kid's on the field excelling, this is a business. I don't want to pay college tuition. Neither do you. So if he's doing well, it's a business, and you want to see him win and go against the best. Now, Coach Tim Delaney has certain issues that he deals with on a personal level. Helping kids, he's dealing with kids in the inner city. He's dealing with a lot more than Coach Dean Chandra for Georgia Park. And you got to give those coaches a whole lot of credit for what they got to deal with. They're good kids. Some kids, you got to deal with them off the field, off season, everything. He stays in touch with all of his kids in the off season. Some coaches don't do that. After football's over, they're off to the next thing. Those kids are forgotten about until it's football camp again. Not with Coach Delaney, and not for any Buffalo coach. You can't do that with these kids. There's so much going on out there. Buffalo's on a serious murder rate right now. Some of those kids are right in the thick of it. Not because they choose to. It's how they're growing up. And somehow Coach Delaney pulls these guys together to work as a team, to avoid the stuff off the streets the best he can, and to put together a good football team. He's going to have a number of guys being looked at by different being looked at by colleges. He's going to have them. And you only hope that South Park maintains this and becomes the power in Buffalo to where other teams could look at Buffalo and no longer say, oh, we got to play those kids again. If you're in, I don't know, some suburban team way out there, oh, we got to play those Buffalo teams again, those kids. Nah. He's changing the image of what people think about football in Buffalo by presenting a team that is purely dominant. You got to give him credit for that. You just have to. You have to give Coach Steve McDuffie credit for that. You got to. Those programs are putting Buffalo single-handedly on the map. So we're going to let my rant go a little silent now and bring on the coach for South Park High School. Guy I talk to a lot. I know when these kids are working out. Kind of know what he's doing. He's always in touch with the kids. We're going to bring on Coach Tim Delaney, Buffalo, New York High School coach at South Park. Coach Tim, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. You know, when this season started out, Coach, I knew you would have a good team. I didn't realize how good they were until you played Canisius. I seen the game on the schedule, and I said to myself, okay, I hope they have a good showing. To me, you did more than that. If it weren't for this great kicker, you win that football game. And I think you earned more respect because you got beat the way you did because of a 62 or 61-yard field goal. To me, you clearly reached the top of your coaching profession, I feel, building this team up from when they were first introduced to Section 6, building them up to where they're a powerhouse, to where if they get out of Section 6, which I think they will, then you will be a fine representative of Buffalo football going into states. Tell us more about your team and how you guys got prepared for this year.
Yeah, I mean, we took that Canisius game just as we have the last couple of years with the idea that in order to have a good program, you got to play some of the best programs around. And obviously, Canisius being one of the top programs in New York State, let alone in Western New York. And I'm pretty friendly with Coach Rich Robbins, who does a great job, and they run great programs. So we were excited to play the game. We knew that we were going to be pretty good. We returned a lot of guys, so we thought we would fare okay. The way the game went, we ended up turning the ball over twice in the first two drives, and kind of spotted them 14 points. They punched two in early, and I was just really proud of the way we responded. Kids battled, and once we settled in, and the nerves kind of went away. We played football, and we were able to hang tough and put some points on the board and kind of battle back. And you know, we just couldn't finish the job. But I know that after coming out of that game, our kids understand what adversity is, what it's like to have another team make some plays against you. And you know, playing somebody like that is exactly like you said. You know, that's. We're hoping that helps us as the season goes. You know, we play a tough opponent this week in West Seneca East, and then, you know, eventually when we get into the, you know, sectional playoffs around here, and hopefully we're able to advance to the Ralph, and who knows after that. We know we're going to play quality opponents. So I'm super happy that we were able to schedule Canisius and find out what it's like to play a program with them.
You know, Coach, that was a good thing. You know, Coach Tim Robbins does, I mean, he built a program at Canisius, and, you know, he has to be commended also. But you find a lot of coaches not wanting to play Canisius. And, you know, where I'm from, you play the tough teams. You know, you just never know. You can't duck teams like that. And you stood up, and you said, you know what, I'll play them. I don't care, I'll play them. It's a non-league game. You know, they're a powerhouse, but I'll play them. And to me, your kids pulled it off because, like I said, as good as this kicker is, it took him to beat South Park. I mean, how many teams come back on Canisius when they, you know, punch in too early? Not many teams do that. You guys fought back and fought back so hard to where it took a tremendous kicker to beat you. I think you earned a lot of credit. That team earned a lot of credit. I knew you guys were good, but not that good. And I just don't see, you know, anything can happen in football. I don't see how you guys don't contend for states. Anything can happen, though. You know, you don't want to, get ahead of yourself. I understand that, but you got a good football team. Looking into when you first got into Section 6, I talked to you about it a few years ago. People said it would take Buffalo a few years. And I said, I think it's going to be quicker than that. You got to understand certain schools may move a little bit quicker. And I said, the one thing you better watch out for are the teams that are pretty much established with good coaching that could teach the young kids football and how to play the game. By the time they become in high school, they're going to be set. And you start showing that. But now you're a powerhouse. And some people, from who I talk to, don't like the fact that Buffalo is in Section 6, and I don't get that because that's competition. If you go to any other football state, it's like that. It's not like, you know, Section 6 is here and then Buffalo's here. I know as a coach it had to be frustrating to you with teams early in your career knowing that you wanted to play the Orchard Parks, you wanted to play the West Seneca East, you wanted to play the other guys, but you just couldn't. And here they win championships and win, go to playoffs, and you're feeling all this time that you could probably beat them. Now you're getting a chance. How does it feel to finally get this chance and have a good team that you built over a few years that can compete and win at that level?
I mean, it's a great feeling for the kids, you know, knowing that the kids are getting the opportunity to really showcase their talents and abilities and their hard work. We spent at South Park, and I don't want to speak for anybody else in Buffalo or anywhere around the area, but at South Park we spend 12 months on football. If you're part of the football program, you're doing something each month that revolves around football. If you're not doing that, you're probably not going to be pretty good. So our kids we find a way to get them thinking about football, whether it's weightlifting, agility training, 7-on-7 contact camps. All the off-season practices, all the things that we do that encompass getting a program to this point. And it did take a while. This is our sixth year in the section. And the first few years, you know, we were still trying to build a program and get the best athletes in the school out and get people interested in young kids, interested in coming to South Park. And it took a little bit of time, but certainly it's grown to this point. We're lucky to have some really good athletes on the team right now. Our JV has been pretty good over the last several years, considering that our JV is only 6 years old. We created JV from scratch. We never had one. And those kids compete, and a lot of them are new to organized football, all new to high school football. We don't have modified. So we really feel like the program is at a spot that, that we used to talk about and we used to hope that we could get here, but now we're actually there and seeing it flourish and seeing a positive impact on these guys and seeing some wins pile up, which is nice.
Well, Coach, talk about the challenges you have. I know a bunch of coaches in the city and in the suburbs, and, you know, we talk about that to where Buffalo faces a very unique challenge, not just keeping these kids on the football field, getting them to work in the classroom, keeping them safe. Some of these kids are in bad areas, not by their choice. It's just a product of, you know, where they're from. And, you know, you have a challenge of not only coaching football, but you got to teach them about life. And to a kid in the city, in the suburbs, it's a little bit different. Life comes very quickly for a lot of these kids, and they got to make choices pretty quickly. They can't make many mistakes, or just that stigma is going to, prevent them. Not a lot of kids get second chances. How do you kind of balance that with some of your star players and almost being like a father to them on and off the field. I mean, football is 12 months a year for you. You know, you're almost a father to these guys, and, you know, your challenges have to be just a little bit more to where you go home and think of your kids, but you're also thinking about your football team. Are they safe? Are they inside? Are they hanging with the wrong crowd? How do you juggle that along with family life?
You know, it really is. It's, you know, I think in any sport, any business, any group that you're trying to build, it's all about relationships. And building those strong relationships by showing interest in our kids is really what helps us and helps those kids understand that there are people that do care about their well-being and that they end up doing well in life. You know, I'd love to have a kid that goes and plays Division I college football and goes and plays in the NFL. But I'd also love that every one of my kids I know is going to go out, get a job, be a productive member of society, take care of their family. You know, and obviously you're not going to win every one of those battles because everybody's an individual and makes their own choices. But we hope that, you know, what we're doing impacts those kids in a positive way and they're able to come back and see us, tell us about, you know, where they're working, what they're doing, if they're going to school, what they're doing with their family. And we finally, in the last couple of years, have had some kids go on and are playing college football at ECC right now. We got a lot of guys playing at ECC, and we've got a couple of kids go to Buff State. And we got a number of kids, you know, now that are hopefully going to go on and play maybe at some bigger schools. So.
Yeah, you know, that's a real good program there. My question to you, though, what everyone has got an email about this, has South Park as a whole, I'm sure the program, you know, the email is based on, you know, how do you get around the test scores that, you know, people always talk about in Buffalo? How does South Park keep their players eligible? Not just that, keep them ready for the things like the clearinghouse, the SATs, the ACTs, things of that nature, in a system like Buffalo where you can't blame everyone and not all kids are doing that. But do you feel football kind of helps these kids in the classroom because they understand to where if you're good on the field and bad in the classroom, it's not going to matter. It's a classroom first than the football field. How do you implement that into these kids who maybe weren't used to studying until they got to you and now they're on the football team? How important is education to the South Park football team?
It's very important. And, you know, our kids come saddled with a lot of issues. We actually have a large number of a high percentage of special ed students in our building, period. Let alone how many of those kids end up playing athletics. But we are a community school. We have a number of agencies in our building, from agencies that help with, like, work scholarship-type programs and just straight-up after-school tutoring. So there are many, many opportunities available to the kids for them to take advantage, to turn that into doing better in a classroom, becoming eligible in the clearinghouse, trying to take advantage of doing well in the SAT and the ACTs. You know, and it takes a, you know, it takes a special kind of kid to be a scholarship athlete, let alone then turn around and do that well in the classroom. It really is like a full-time job to try to coach football and deal with those things aside from all the other things that is expected of high school football coaches in Western New York. I mean, we're all teachers. We all have to teach, you know, our classes throughout the day and then deal with all of, you know, all the football aspect on top of that. So it becomes large and encompassing, and it's something that you have to sit down and really organize and saddle in with all your kids and have them understand what is important and have them set goals about where they want to be in the end.
That's a great point. You know, I think if there's any other teacher listening, no matter if you're in West New York or outside the state, in the situation that Coach Lane finds himself in, you could turn something bad into good. And I think South Park has done that. A few of the Buffalo schools have done the same thing. I just think right now, like it or not, South Park is becoming the model of the Buffalo schools. You know, I mean, I had coached him on several years ago when he was just getting to this point, and he got to this point a lot quicker than I thought he would. Met some of the kids. The kids are good football players. The kids are, like you said, they are getting the academic work. So if you have any questions about the Buffalo football program or just athletics and education, these guys are trying hard. You know, these guys are trying real hard. These guys have much different challenges than some of the schools, the Clarences, the Williamsvilles. They don't have those challenges. They could be teachers and go right home. These guys got to be teachers, go home, take care of their families, and also think about the kids who they're trying to help get out of where they're getting out of. And if football can help them do that, that's what these coaches are doing. So I appreciate the emails I'm getting, a lot of positive ones. This is a good job you're doing, Coach, and I don't think you get enough credit for it. And, you know, I'm not tooting your horn. It's being honest because I told you years ago, I said, man, you know, if Buffalo gets it together, they could be a powerful football program. And not just that, the kids will understand that being a program helps you get to the next level, even if it's getting a job. You don't got to play football. A lot of kids won't play in college, or if they do, they won't go to the NFL. But if you teach them now that getting a job is just important, getting education is just important, that's it. You did your job. And there's nothing that probably wouldn't make you happier is when a kid comes up who's in college playing ball, who's getting ready to get that degree. That's going to probably make you happier than winning a football game.
Oh, no doubt. Being able to see kids, you know, I'm lucky enough to live in the neighborhood and, you know, in the community. And I went to South Park and now I've been a teacher there for 14 years and been a head football coach for 8. So I'm lucky enough to see kids that are adults that were in my class that have played football for us and, you know that they're out there doing well, whether it is working, going to school, all the different things that you could be doing after school. And obviously, you know, we lose some, which is disappointing, but it is the scenario that we work in. So, like I said, we are just doing our best to work as hard as we can to win every one of those battles, to get every kid, you know, on the right track and doing the right thing.
All right, Coach, before I let you go, Coach, talk about your next opponent, West Seneca. Pretty good football team. You know, I talked about it with a few of the guys in the media about this game, and, you know, I'm not going to tell you what I think on the air, but I think you guys are in good shape. But you are facing a pretty good football team. What can you say about West Seneca?
West Seneca East, well coached, good program. They've been near the top of our division for the last number of years. I think this is the fifth time we'll have played them. They beat us the first two times. We beat them the last two times. Coach Marino does a good job. They got some nice players. They got a couple of really good football players. I think they have 3 kids that are 3-year starters in their program. Always a good run football team and physical and fast. So we're excited for the challenge. You know, we had a nice win last week against Hamburg, and we're hoping that you know, we can create some matchup problems and kind of spoil their homecoming. It's their homecoming this week, so we're excited about the opportunity. I know, you know, a lot of our guys are on some watch list, Connolly Cup, Trench Trophy, those kind of things. So excited to kind of showcase our guys on a Friday night, on a big game on a Friday night, and hopefully things go our way and we can continue down that road for the season.
All right, Coach. Good luck for the game coming up this Friday. We'll be talking to you again when you get to the playoffs and talk about the team and how you guys are preparing. But great program you're running out there in Buffalo, and you're doing a good job. And I think your football team is a reflection of you and your coaching staff. And hopefully we'll see a lot of these kids move on to schools, get more recognition in the paper, not just locally, nationally, and just justify your program a little bit more. Thanks, Coach, for coming on, and we'll keep in touch.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right, Coach.
All right.
Coach Tim Delaney, South Park High School, Buffalo, New York. It's a great story. It's really a great story, and, you know, if you don't like the guy, if you don't like the program, you got to respect what he's doing and what the kids are buying into. It's not easy to have kids buy into stuff. Kids have so many options these days. I mean, if it's Xbox, you think I'm joking? There's kids who play Xbox 24 hours a day. There's kids who will skip school to play Xbox. You have the temptations in the street, fast money, selling drugs. You have conflicts, you know, people trying to take your sneakers. Just so much stuff these kids can get into, but Coach Delaney finds a way to just let them play football. And the kids are buying into this program. They're literally buying into the program. And it's a good program now. You know, I don't care what happens next year. This is a program. The kids who come here know what to expect. This is slowly becoming a winning program to where the kids that come in now know they just can't walk in, hey, Coach, I want to play. No. There's a huge responsibility if you want to be football for Coach Delaney. It's not just on the field. You have a lot to do. off the field and in the classroom. And I think that's the way it should be. And Coach Steve McDuffie does the same thing with his program at Bennett. I think there's some other good coaches out there. But also, you know, let's turn that knob. Great interview with Coach Delaney. Good program, good story. But you all know me. If I'm going to bring you a good story, I'm going to turn the bad. I'm not going to criticize Buffalo, and I'm not going to criticize some of the coaches in Western New York, but I'm going to say this. You're not doing your job. There's some of you who should go. There's some of you who shouldn't be coaching anymore. There's some of you who got too comfortable. There's some of you who like that check, that extra bit of money you get. And I feel if they stop that, you'll have guys like Coach Delaney, Steve McDuffie, and a few other coaches who love the game so much, who want to help the kids so much, they'll still coach. But I tell you, coming to West New York is a little bit different. The high schools are different. The things run different. And you look at these rankings, the top 10, and you look at them and you say, hey, okay, whatever. But see, here's the problem. I've been seeing it for too long. Too long. I'm going to say it like I call it. I'm in Kenmore. You're fooling yourself if you don't think there's a discrepancy between the South teams and the North teams. Excluding Clarence, who just joined the North this year. There's a discrepancy. It's a huge one. I would like somebody to break down penalties. I would like somebody to break down flags and just all types of ebb and flows of the game that are dictated by referees. This has nothing to do with the kids. These are the grown-ups dictating a kid's game. For what reason, I don't know, but you leave the door open for criticism and speculation and theories. You talk to most coaches here in AA, and they say, gosh, you know, I don't want to go to Jamestown. It's 21-0 before you get off the bus. That's a shame. Can't blame the kids. Can't blame Coach Tom for that. Don't make me Section 6 commissioner. Any playoff game, I'm getting two from the North, two from the South. I'm not getting refs from a whole other football league closer to that area. Not at all. It's not going to happen. Referees will have a very stringent, very stringent. I don't care if you're Salino and Barnes and you're ref on the weekend. I don't care who you are. When you put on those stripes, you work for me, and you work for the kids to call a fair game. We don't see that sometimes. Sometimes we're baffled. I can't believe I'm saying this because me and the guy don't see eye to eye, but Coach Harris at Ken West, a guy that I fought with for 3 years, I think this guy gets the short end of the stick every time because the refs don't like him. He's a pompous jerk, they said. Okay, that's fine, but don't screw the kids because you don't like him. See him in the bar. Go see him at Applebee's and tell him how you feel. Don't tell him how you feel by throwing flags hurting these kids. I've talked to the head guy, the big guy, Tim Slade, Section 6 president. I have no kind words for this guy. He has no kind words for me. But you know what? I respect him for what he does. Look, I work this way. If I don't like you, I still respect you. I respect you as a person holding a job. I may not like how you're doing it, but I respect you. And I think there's things Tim Slade can fix for Section 6. I've heard all types of stories. I've heard all types of stories when Buffalo first got in Section 6. The reason I say Buffalo is because these stories were crazy. Kids twisting ankles. Kids twisting ankles under the pile, twisting the Buffalo kids' ankles. Sometimes ref season don't call it. Buffalo team starting to drive down and score and probably take over the lead, flags come out. Not every ref. I'm good with some referees, but if some I don't know who, I just question. But I can't really blame Slade, but he's the boss. So you got to blame someone. You got to go upstairs for that. I tell you what. I wouldn't fight so hard for these kids. And let's make something straight here. I get no money, none, for fighting for these kids. I just want things to be fair. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're black. I don't care what color you are. I am the biggest proponent, kids, that anyone has ever seen. I go to bat for these kids for all the teams, and sometimes the parents and coaches don't even know it. my presence is known when I walk somewhere. People know who I am. Some games I watch, I have no bone in the fight. I just want to see how it's called. Well, we're going to bring on our guy right now, a sports reporter who's done a good job. I knew this guy when he first got started. Now he's kind of big time, and, you know, I can't reach him as much as I used to. Big Dave, we call him the Duke. Prep Talk TV, you see him at the games, guys doing interviews. The guy's one of the main guys now in high school football. I'd like to have him on right now. We're going to introduce Dave Ducata back on Trent White Sports Radio Show. Dave, it's been a long time. Like, I know you're bigger than what you were last time I seen you. I can't reach you now. You're so busy. You're following games. Your team, Springville's doing good. How's it been going, man? I know you're busy, but thanks for calling in.
Hey, man, I wouldn't go out there and call me big time just yet. I'm 21 years old, still finishing up college, going to class and working here and there and doing that side of things. But, yeah, I wouldn't call me big time. I'm just I love high school sports, love to work, and love to you know, do some journalism stuff, whether it's with the camera or with writing or video, whatever it is. So it's been fun so far.
Here we go. You know, you're humble. You're already trained really good. See, I like that, how you just deflected all that good karma I gave you, and you got to straighten it out. But that's cool. I'll let you go with that one. Listen, high school football is kind of picking up. You have a few surprises. You have potentially, to me, I say this because Jamestown, the big stars are gone. You have West with some big stars are gone. This is almost a new crop of kids coming up now. And I feel this is going to be a very, very competitive playoffs. And AA, you got some surprising teams. Just had Coach Tim Delaney over South Park. To me, South Park, to me, could be tied for one. But they're two right now. I think they're going to make a lot of noise going out of Section 6, hitting Rochester, hitting Syracuse, hitting the States. What do you see playing up for this football season this year? I'm very excited because I think the cream's starting to rise to the top, and there's some very intriguing matchups you want to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to pick a spot where to start, but I think AA is very intriguing because you have teams that can really score. Kenmore West, you know, they're up and down the field, or Orchard Park, and they can throw the ball wherever they want to throw it. Lancaster has been one of the most impressive teams in the league this year, averaging over 50 points a game. I mean, what they can do offensively, they can definitely make a lot of noise in the playoffs. But what's really going to happen is once the weather changes and it becomes, you know, either some snow bowls or some rainy games, or the field's not, you know, as good as it is right now, who's going to play some defense? Who's going to line up and win at point of attack? And, you know, Orchard Park's done that year after year, so I would give the edge right now to them. But look at Kenmore West and Lancaster. You know, they're all up in there. And you can't forget about Jamestown. I think when it comes to the playoffs, Jamestown, you know, still going to be prepared. They're one of the best coaching staffs in the league. Between those four teams, I mean, it's really going to be interesting once the playoff time comes around.
You had a great point about the weather, and I felt all along these teams who are pass happy. Lancaster is really the biggest surprise to me. I respect their ranking. I respect what they're doing. Coach Dixon's another guy I speak to a lot, is doing a great job there. You can't even fault what they're doing. I think they're having a phenomenal season. I just don't know, you know, they haven't been tested yet, but they will be tested in Orchard Park. This is going to tell me a lot about Lancaster. It's going to tell me a lot about Orchard Park, too, because, look, that loss to Pittsburgh for Orchard Park is going to show me a lot, and I think Orchard Park may have the edge, but we're going to see Lancaster go up against a team now that could punch them back in the mouth, and if they beat Orchard Park convincingly and throw up like 40 points, you have to make them probably the favorite in AA. You're looking at Star Point. I'm telling you right now about Star Point. I think they're having a great season. You can't fault them for the great season. I have a problem with where they're ranked, but I don't know how they're going to fare in that tough division when playoff time starts. They're having a great season. They're undefeated, but there's some tough teams in A, and I just don't know where they're going to fit. Talk more about Star Point. With the great season, let's see how they do in the playoffs. What's your feeling about them in the playoffs?
See, I saw them against Lockport, and it was kind of a bad time to see them because both of their quarterbacks, their starter and their backup, got hurt. Watching the first drive, the team looks very multiple. Somebody that can throw the ball. Everyone knows about their running attack. You may have three or four guys they can lean on. Both of those guys ended up going down. They ran a wildcat offense most of the game, putting their number one running back or number two running back in the backfield and just trying to run the ball. They couldn't pass. I mean, it was unbelievable. Lockport could just stack the box, and it was like, there's no way Starpoint's going to win this game. They won that game somehow against Lockport, a team they haven't really beat recently, a double-A school, you know, and Starpoint played a great game defensively. You know, they did allow a lot of rushing yards. They definitely stand tall once Lockport got in their own end. They played great. I'm not sure what they're going to do, you know, against the South Parks of the world. I'm not sure if they can keep up with them. But they're definitely a team to watch. They played some really good football. And they have some, you know, some pretty solid wins. They don't have great convincing wins. I still think a win over Will South is good. I mean, it's not great. South is definitely down this year. Grand Island, they had a better start to the year than they do right now. That's still a decent win. So definitely you could look at them, and I think they're going to make some noise in the playoffs, but I'm not sure how far they can go if they can keep up with the South Parks and the West End Heaths of the world.
Yeah, that's a good point. Looking at Orchard Park, you know, I'm looking at Orchard Park, and I'm saying, you know, Orchard Park's really clicking, and they look like the Orchard Park of old, but, you know, I go back to last year. It's pretty much the same team. Guys are really stepping up. Coach Dean told me last year that he spent all season looking at a passing attack, and it looks like the passing attack is really working this year. Started working a little bit last year. Jamestown being down, I've been telling people all along, I said, let me tell you something. You don't want to face Jamestown because it's a very dangerous football team, even though they have two losses. It's a very dangerous team because they've been there before. They've been to the playoffs before. They won. They're coming off a state championship. That's a good coaching staff. I think a lot of people are just kind of writing them off, and I think that's a very big mistake just because they've been there so many times.
Yeah, I think that's where you have to start. I mean, you could say that the favorite right now is Orchard Park, but you have to remember, you know, who's won the last couple of weeks. Sorry about that motorcycle sounding outside right now. But you have to remember who's won the last couple of years, and that's Jamestown. They've done a great job the last couple of years, but right now they have to find a new identity because they're not playing defense like they did last year. So they have some work to do in that department. Their quarterback, Holland, did not play last week. I've heard it was a disciplinary issue at school, so they have to get him right and make sure he's playing. And if he's not playing, they have to find somebody else to fill that spot. But I think they're still going to be dangerous once the season comes around. They still have a plenty amount of offensive weapons to give some teams some trouble.
You know, you and I talked earlier. You had a great point about Kenmore West. And, you know, the more I think about it, Kenmore West probably want to just stay quiet and just show and play these games. I think their defense has been outstanding. Niagara Falls, you know, say what you want about Niagara Falls. You know, they didn't really have a tough opponent really until Jamestown, which I think they let that game slip away. But then they come to Kenmore West on a wet day. Had a few mistakes, but both teams are playing in the rain. And then get beat like that. I think Niagara Falls may be a dangerous team. Do you see them possibly giving Lancaster some problems, if not, you know, just enough to make it competitive? Looking forward to them. To me, first, I told one guy from the Falls, don't worry about the playoffs. You better worry about Lockport. And I think Lockport against the Falls, Lockport started out slow. Their only loss in league is the Kenmore West. How do you see that game playing out, deciding who's going to be the second seed in the North?
I mean, I'd love to say that Niagara Falls can make some noise in the playoffs, but after watching them on Saturday, I just can't see it happening. I mean, I just don't know where their offense is coming from. You know, maybe if they're on turf and it's dry and they can try to run to the edge every single play, but it just wasn't happening, you know, Saturday. And I was surprised with their edge defense. I mean, a team like Niagara Falls should be able to stop the, you know, while Terrell Ford is a great athlete, they should be able to stop the jet sweep. They got some fast kids in that team, and they couldn't stop anything to the outside. I thought if Kenmore West is going to win, it's going to be, you know, Ford up the middle and Taylor up the middle and things like that, and Walker Johnson doing things up the middle. But no, I mean, they ran to the outside and outside edge all game. So Niagara Falls has proven to me that they're ready to take that jump. Is this season been encouraging for them? Without a doubt. You know, they have definitely improved. They still have a lot of work to do. I mean, Kenmore West blocks three punts. I mean, how many times do you ever hear about that in a game? That just goes to show that the program still needs to build, still needs to focus on little things, you know, like blocking on special teams.
You know, let's talk about the small schools right now. Springville, I mean, keeping an eye on them, to me, that win over Dunker was pretty big. What's going on with Springville? I mean, what's gotten in the water there? They finally all of a sudden have a very good program, and how far do you see them going?
You know, it's been on the way up the last few years. You know, I would say the last 5 years. They had John Sopko who came in there. He coached for a few years and really kind of built the program up to a competitive standpoint. I mean, they were going one win every single year, it seemed like, you know, for 4 or 5 years. He comes in, they get to 500, they go to the Ralph in 2012. Now Eric Jansey's the head coach. Eric Jansey's coached North Tonawanda, and they won a state championship on a triple option. So he's a Springville alumnus. He's done a great job bringing that program from a competitive team to a really, really, really good team, one of, I think, five undefeated schools in Western New York right now. They went over Dunkirk. I mean, Dunkirk returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, and then Springville shuts them out the rest of the way. So that was definitely a huge win for them. They have a man at fullback. I mean, a junior, Ian Baker, just, you know, it's very tough to tackle the kid. Comes from a very prominent football family in Springville. A lot of guys who've contributed over the years, and he's a great player for them. And they just do the little things well. They're not the biggest team, not the fastest team, but they won triple option. They're smart, and they have a really, really good coach. So that's definitely helping them right now.
Yeah, you know, I know you're short on time, but, you know, I think this week, what games are you looking for besides the obvious one, Orchard Park and Lancaster? Get your thoughts on that game. And what does Lancaster have to show you? Just like Orchard Park has been a big nemesis to Kenmore West, Kenmore West has been a nemesis to Lancaster. What are you looking to see from them to see if they're really for real against a top team?
That same offensive output. If they can do that this week, they score 40 points. I'm all in on Lancaster because I already know about the defense. I know they're going to give up points. And they gave up points to Jamestown. They're going to give up points. You know what's going to happen. Even gave up points to Clarence. So we know their defense isn't a strong point, but they have a quarterback in Dan Spire who can run and pass. They have Zach Chenzewski. I'm probably pronounced that wrong. I haven't seen too much of Lancaster this year, but I know he's a really good running back, their feature back. So if they could score this week, they'll prove a lot to me.
All right, so can you agree with me that here, there's not a lock. Can you see, you know, in past years, it's always been a lock for Orchard Park to win AA Section 6. Is it as convincing to you that they're guaranteed to win it this year as in previous years? I mean, last year, you know, Ken West lost that game in the last seconds. They drove down the field and got the winning touchdown. Do you feel that this year they're dominant enough to where you could just pencil them in at the Ralph?
At the Ralph, because I still think Kenmore West can beat them. But, I mean, the way Kenmore West played week one, and it really, you know, I looked at Kenmore West as a team that I had in the top of my large school poll at the end of the year. And then you lay an egg, you know, I know it was week one, but against Orchard Park, and the biggest game of your year is week one, and you lose it. I mean, that's just something you can't do. You can't just lose or get shut out, just not play very well against a good Orchard Park team, yeah. But they had a chance just to make some noise week one, and they failed to do so. But I still think later in the season it seems that Kenmore West is playing a lot better than they were week one. And if you have Terrell Ford, I mean, anything possible, he'll do in the game. And they have a number of athletes who can really move. So I would definitely keep an eye on Kenmore West and Lancaster and Jamestown to definitely challenge Orchard Park.
All right, Dave, you know, good stuff here. So what game are you going to be at this weekend? You're going to be at the Orchard Park game? You're going to be at the South Park West Seneca game? Where can we find you?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be Orchard Park, Lancaster. I usually get, like, the second or third game of the week. So I probably won't be at Orchard Park, Lancaster. That's probably the top game. So, I mean, I'll definitely settle on South Park, West Seneca. That'd be a good one to see.
All right, Dave, you know what? Good to have you back on. We'll talk later. Some good football information. Thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Trent. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Dave LaDuca, he don't want to admit it. The guy's a good football guy. 21 years old, way beyond his years when it comes to talking high school football. Does a great job. That's why I have him on my show. He does a very good job with high school football, has some good insight, goes to a lot of games, and just phenomenal kid who's doing a good job. And like I said, I don't bring anyone on this show that is not doing phenomenal. I'm going to answer a quick email real quick here. When are we going to have some more pro athletes on, you know, the Floyd Mayweathers? No, we're going to work on those guys right now. I'm working on Magic Johnson. I'm working on a few other guys to have on this show. So we're working on it. Fred Barnett, for all the old school guys who remember the Eagles, the wide receiver, former NFLer, he's looking to come on. Lee Woodall, there's a few other guys looking to come on who are former NFL players. We're going to have some nice guests coming on pretty soon. We have hopefully Dick Gallagher coming on soon. I don't know if he'll come on now that he knows that, you know, he's part of the rankings and how I am very unsatisfied with him. He may come on, though. We're going to have Stu Boyer, Adam Benini. We got a long list of guests. I just got to book them that are going to come on and talk some Bills football. We're going to have some NBA talk coming up really, really big. Guys who are big in the NBA. We're going to have some Major League Baseball playoff talk coming up. Look, this is a sports show. This is a sports show, and the one thing I do understand is I kind of relate to people who get screwed over programs, football programs. The reason I do is this. You know, there's no reason other than for other obvious reasons why Trenton White, myself, should not be on a radio show. I get emails all the time. Why aren't you on this station? Why aren't you on that station? And I'm like, hey, you know what? They don't want me on. The only time they get guys like me on is when they're football players or former guys who can't do jack on the radio, who sound awful. They don't want me on because I'm not going to do the status quo, the politically correct crap. I'm not going to, you know, interview guys with kid gloves. I'm not going to criticize guys with kid gloves. I'm going to call it the way I see it. And the reason I'm doing well, and I've been doing well for years with my online shows, because people like to hear the truth. Most people talk the truth amongst their friends. They don't want to say the truth to the person who they're talking about because it may create conflict. Well, let me tell you something, I don't care. Because people love the truth, and if you want the truth about kids, a program, anything, I'm the guy that's going to give it to you because, one, I don't care what you think. If you give me a bone when you're doing something wrong, I'm going to bite it until I break it. So if you do wrong, I'm going to call you out. And if you've been listening to me for years, I've called everyone out. Superintendent of Buffalo, athletic director of this school, that school. I call them all out. And they know I'm right. I don't call anyone out I don't have proof on. That's why I'm doing well. That's why I'm doing well, because people like the truth, and I'm always going to give it. But my biggest thing is kids. Don't screw kids. Don't screw kids in football, basketball, whatever. I don't care what color they are. I don't care how rich your school district is, from the richest to the poorest. You do something wrong with kids, I'm going to call you out. That's just how I operate. For heaven's sakes, me and James Mallory are the only two scouting services in Western New York who help kids. Who help kids get to college. Look, if you want to contact me, look, my phone number is on the Facebook page, Trenton White Sports. I have kids calling all the time, kids' parents calling all the time. Coach, can you help me? Coach, here's my film. What should I do? I give advice all the time. I give advice to people who think their kid's D1. No, he's not. I'm not going to lie to you. Some of these guys will and take your money. I don't do that. Email's flying in. Appreciate it. Once again, if you want to email me, at twhite444@verizon.net. That is twhite444@verizon.net. You can always give me a call personally on the cell. I'm not ashamed to give it out. If you want to call my cell, no problem. If you want me to help your kid get to school, help shop your kid around the colleges, want my opinion, no problem. If I can't help you, I have guys that will. That's not a problem at all. If you guys email me about my Elite 100 coming to Buffalo with former NFL player Lee Woodall, who happens to be my cousin, who has a very good program, but if you want to, you know, give me a call, area code 716-235-4552. That's area code 716-235-4552. Got a kid that needs help, want some information, want some school information, give me a call. In closing, I'm going to do this. We didn't talk any pro sports today. Because to me, high school sports and kids dominate any pro sports as far as I'm concerned. Got some emails. We're going to talk about Bills. We're going to talk about Bills this week. Like I told you guys in week one, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to say this. I told you in week one, it's the same old Bills, different coach, different crap coming out the mouth. My thing is, as long as Russ Branding is still in your organization, the Bills are going to be the Bills. It's still early. It's still early, okay? The Bills are getting penalties like they always do. Now we're just waiting for the injury bug. And it's going to come. It comes about week six, week seven. Everyone just starts dropping like flies. And you start seeing guys on the field with numbers you haven't seen before and names you haven't heard playing on the field. And you're going to get mad again. It's going to be 16 years, no playoffs, whatever. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I'm hoping you guys do well. Well, I tell you, football is getting good. Going to have some of the top high school talent in the country on this show from Texas, a few from California. We're working on those interviews right now, but I'm telling you, football is going to be so great. I'm excited for South Park. I'm excited for Ken West. I'm excited for Lancaster, Ultra Park. The big bullies of the block who've been dominating for years, I think this is a year where you may get knocked down by someone you don't see coming. As long as the referees don't dictate the game. That's all. You know, it was so bad a few years ago, I wanted to get my license and put on a uniform. But I backed out for two reasons. If I'm overruled by a guy who has an agenda, it wouldn't be a good thing of me strangling this guy on the football field and probably going to jail and never could ref again. One day I will. One day I'll referee a game. Sure, I'll be a ref. Just got to have guys I work with who are honest. You guys are crazy. You know, why do I read emails and talk to you guys? You guys are just too much. You guys ask me the craziest questions, and no, I'm not going to talk about that, and I'm not even going to mention it, but I'll talk about that this week. I tell you, football is good, and guys, thank you for listening. All I want to do is just get some honesty to the game. That's really all it's about. It's about the kids. It's not about us. Look, I played before. Few of you fathers played. Few of you moms. You guys played high school sports. It's over. It's over for us. We're not living through our kids. We're trying to get the best situation for our kids and get the best situation as far as an even playing field, no matter what economic background you come from, what color you are, what color uniform you wear. That's all it's all about. Fair and honesty. That's it. That's all we ask for. And in Western New York, as we hear by college coaches, they say there's not many D1 talented kids in here. I think you're wrong. I think there's enough D1 kids to not have Buffalo be one of the worst recruited places in the country, which we hear on a constant basis. And it's an extra fight when we try to sell a kid to a program and try to compare him to a kid who plays maybe 3 more games than him a season, excluding playoffs. We had 11 games in my season back home. That's crazy. Then the playoffs. So you were really beat up. It was very rare you were healthy going into the playoffs down in Pennsylvania. Same in Texas, same in Georgia, same in California, same in Louisiana. And I think what hurts Western New York is this, the teachers' union. And it's nothing against the guys coaching. I think the teachers' union doesn't really allow other guys who may not be a teacher to coach. And that's something I think it's good and bad. I think there's some good to it and there's some bad to it. I think a lot of the refereeing and the hidden agendas up here hurt the kids as far as national recruiting. I've been saying that for years. You pump up guys from these suburban places that are well-to-do when the kid who can really do something in college is somewhere else, less desirable. But you pump this guy up, he does nothing in college. You pump him up, he does nothing. Nothing in college. But this kid from the undesirable place does. Just make it fair. That's all I'm asking. Make it fair. Make it fair, and then, you know, I'll shut up. But until it's fair, I'm going to keep fighting for the guy. Like I said, though, I don't care if it's rich or poor. I'm going to fight for the unestablished teams who just want to play on an even playing field. If you don't like the coach, ref, suck it up. 48 minutes or whatever it is to play a football game. Suck it up. Shut your mouth. Look what's on the field. Leave your personal feelings aside for the school, for the coach, or whatever. Coach a football game. After the game, if you see him in a bar, have a few drinks, confront him, and tell him what you feel. And whatever happens, happens. If you got to throw up the Dukes, do it. But don't do it on the football field where you're hurting the kids who have nothing to do with your beef with the coach. Nothing. Western New York, I'm telling you right now, you may have become one of the worst recruited areas in the country, but you have a lot of questions and a lot of people wondering what's your agenda. I don't criticize Canisius for one bit, and I'll tell you why. I used to. You know, I used to. I see it this way. If you don't like Canisius, if you don't like Aquinas in Rochester, here's what you do. Make a program to where the kids don't want to leave and go there. Because if your kid stays in your program, they don't go there, and they don't build a super team with kids from different schools. If they're running a good program, you can't blame them for that. If they're looking more attractive than you, you can't blame them for that. If the kid goes there and plays on a team that's dominant because they have a bunch of different good kids from different schools, hey, improve your program so they don't leave. South Park proved that you can build a team from a public system to compete at that level. South Park has proved that you don't got to have money. You just got to be a good kid and a good athlete with good coaching to compete against kids paying $12,000 a year. Dollar bills doesn't make a football team. Coach Tim Delaney proved that. Look, it's football. It's a game. And do people want the Catholic schools to be in Section 6? Not at all. That's never going to happen for a long time. And some will say this. I could agree with this to an extent. They recruit. I'm not going to say recruit. if they come to my kid and say, hey, you want to come to Canisius? We have a good program. Guess what? I had a son who could have went to St. Joe's, pulled out in the last week because he wanted to stay with his teammates at Kenmore West. He wanted to play with his friends at Kenmore West. Not saying Kenmore West has a great program. They have a good program. They're doing good this year. But the bond's built with friendship, and he likes the coaching staff. No matter what problems I had with him, had with the coaching staff, it was his decision. I wasn't going to make him go to Joe's. You could beat Canisius. You could beat St. Joe's. You could beat Tymon. Just keep your program attractable enough for your kid not to want to leave. That's all. If they join Section 6 next year. Okay. Now the arguments start. They can't take everyone. Here's my biggest thing about Canisius, to where I got to stick up for them a little bit. They don't take every good athlete. The problem is this. Here's what the problem people have with Canisius. On every football team, you may have, honestly, four players who can play at the next level. Honestly, that's about all you're going to get. And when I say the next level, let's say D2. Good athletes. If you're lucky, all four of your guys can play at that level. Whatever. The difference with Canisius is their numbers, they have a bunch of guys who can play college football. And you got to give Coach Tim Robbins credit. He built up a program to where people want to come. Look, do we complain about people who live in Hawaii and Florida? No. Why? Florida's more attractive than West New York. It just so happens to be in a nice area where they get a lot of sun. Now, if Buffalo straightens up the city, if Buffalo has things to do in the city, even though it gets cold as hell, if there's things to do and it's a lively city, guess what? People won't move to the nicer places like Arizona, Florida, and all the other nicer places. They'll stick here. Make winter fun. I don't know how the hell you do that, but find a way to make winter fun. Make downtown lively. I mean, don't have downtown with tumbleweeds going by the train while it's going down on the ground. There's nothing to do. But it's coming back. Bottom line is this. Don't yell and don't be all open arms upset about these Catholic schools because kids want to go there. Just make your program to where they don't want to leave. That's all. That's all. End of that story. And South Park proved that you could play with these guys. South Park proved it. And I think as long as you have that, you can build a program. And it's going to be much more rewarding when you beat them from a public program. Oh, yeah, it's coming. There's going to be a public school that's going to beat Canisius. It's coming. It's coming very soon. But you can't blame Coach Tim Robbins for that. You can't blame the Canisius coaching staff for that. You can't blame the school. And if people got the money and they want to pay, fine. If the kids are coming from Canada, fine. I know most public schools don't have that, but fine. Listen, you go to Pennsylvania, you go to some other schools, listen. The public schools knock on the door of these Catholic schools, sometimes beat the crap out of them. Sometimes the Catholic school gets a good group of kids, they win it. It goes back and forth. But I don't think it's cheating at all. I really don't. I just think it's a situation where the kid wants to do what's best for him. The parents want to do, from an educational standpoint, what's best for them. That's all. That's all. And, you know, you look at Orchard Park. They're not Canisius. They're not St. Joe's. They're not whatever. It's just a public school. Yes, the Bills people were there. When a coach comes in with a good kid, he's on the team. Yeah, I get all that. But Orchard Park finds a way, even though they duck those teams, they find a way to maintain their status in AA. They don't play the big boys, though. That's one criticism I have against them. If you want to be a legitimate powerhouse, play Canisius and beat them. If you beat them, you're solidified a lot more. How come an A school like South Park steps up to the plate and plays them? You don't, Orchard Park. You don't do it. South Park does. An A school who's been in Section 6 6 years steps up and plays a powerhouse who is nationally ranked, who's one of the top teams in New York State, who goes to Ohio and beats teams who are ranked nationally. But Little Old South Park's the only team that will step up and play them. The other ones, you play them because you have to, because you're in the Mount Senior Martin. Don't fool me with that. If you didn't have to play them, you wouldn't. So I'm going to call it a day for this show here. Mostly high school sports. And that's all it was, high school sports. Look, we have a lot better shows than this. I think it was a good show today, but we have a lot better shows than this. And we talk to guys who play in the NBA, guys who get down and dirty in the NFL, working on Floyd Mayweather, working on Shane Mosley, working on a few good guys to have on here. And guess what? For all you soccer guys, yeah, I'm a soccer guy too because I play FIFA on Xbox, okay? And yes, I am working on getting some big-name soccer guys from across the pond to call on the show if they don't mind waking up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning to talk to me here on the other side of the pond. So we're working on that too. We're going to have some other top high school athletes who are females. McKenna Rushford from Williamsville, who is going to be going to Clemson for lacrosse. We got a few other girls going to be bringing on. So we got a lot of people to come on. If you feel your kid has it or your kid needs exposure, give me a call. The number I told you, give me a call. I'd be glad to talk to your kid and see if we can get them an interview. The interviews help the kids a lot, guys. It gives them exposure. It teaches them how to actually talk on the phone with a person like me or somebody else doing an interview. And with these interviews, you can keep them. You can keep them. And it's something they'll never forget. It doesn't seem like much, but to a kid, it's a lot. And it means so much to them. To be recognized in their area, to be recognized on the radio where a national crowd is listening, yeah, it means a lot. So if you do have a kid that you feel is doing the right thing and not getting enough exposure, give me a call, 716-235-4552. That's 716-235-4552. Look, guys, thank you for listening. Please follow me on Facebook. We're going to have a lot of things going on right now. If you go to Facebook, if you do have Facebook, go to Trenton White Sports, like the page. Make comments on my post, anything you want. If you want to follow me on Twitter, go ahead and do that. I just opened Twitter back up. I never used it, but I still got to use it now. It's at TWMedia44. Follow me on Twitter, at TWMedia44. That is a great thing. And, you know, let's debate. Let's talk some high school football. Let's talk some NBA. Let's talk some Buffalo Bills. Let's talk some UB football. Let's talk some anything. I don't care. I'm a sports guy. We can talk anything. We can talk NASCAR. I have a guy for that. The Mouth, Kevin Shelley. If you want to talk NASCAR, we'll get him on. He'll talk some NASCAR. If you want to talk golf, I got a guy for that. If you want to help make this show better, leave me some comments on what you want to hear as fans, because I do this for you guys. Whatever you want to hear, let me know, and I will do what I can to get a representative from that sport you want to hear on this show. So once again, guys, thank you for listening. For guys who are the first time listening, look, I appreciate it. Hopefully you like the show. You come back. This show, if you miss any of my shows, it'll always be on the Trenton White Sports Radio page after the show. You hear the podcast. Listen to it. Pass it on to your friends. Look, thank you guys for listening. Matter of fact, thanks to my sponsors. Totally forgot about you guys, but I'm sure you'll forgive me this time. Thank you to Coca-Cola, Paul's Donuts, Snyder Puzzles of the Pennsylvania, working on another cell phone company. It was Cricket. I'll give Cricket a shout-out, even though they saved me 3 years. I had to get rid of them. Peace out to Cricket, but thank you for your years of service in the past. Thank you, guys. Nice, exciting week of high school football coming up. We'll be back on this week. The show will be posted on Trenton White Sports. Once again, if you do have any shows or any improvements you want me to do or things you want me to talk about, let me know on Trenton White Sports. We'll see you guys later. Have a good night. Thank you for Coach Laney for coming on, Dave LaDuca, and for all the guys listening, have a good night. See you guys later, and comment on the Facebook page if you liked the show. If you didn't, if you got any beefs with me, let me know on the Facebook page or Twitter. I'll definitely get back to you, especially if you got a beef with me. We can debate. We can do it live. We can do it on Twitter. We can do it on Facebook, whatever. You got a beef with me and what I said on this show, hit me up. We'll talk about it. Take care, guys. Have a good night.